What in the world does Emily Dickinson, an American poet from the 1800s, have to do with the Old Testament book of Nehemiah? And more importantly, what does it have to do with you? Well, stay tuned and you're going to find out.
If your desire is to become spiritually stronger, emotionally healthier, and relationally smarter, you're at the right place. Speaker and writer Stephanie Smith inspires and equips you to achieve these three key aims. If you're a parent, you also learn how to raise empowered kids ready for adulthood. Let's get started.
Welcome back to the Life Ski 3 episode. I'm delighted that you are here, and I invite you to check out the other resources that I offer, including speaking engagements on my website, stephaniepresents.com. While you are there, you can sign up for a weekly newsletter called High Impact. It is worth your time, and it is where I give you insights and resources and information on life's key three areas to become spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart. And there's also a section specifically for parents on raising empowered kids in these three areas. If you are part of a church or a ministry or a Christian school or a homeschooling group, and you have a need for someone to come in to provide insights, encouragement, research into your community, and you have people who want that to come to them from a faith-based perspective, well, check out my engagements on, again, the website, stephaniepresents.com. Also, I do custom speaking engagements, although I make the commitment I'm never going to speak on something that I'm not qualified for and that I'm not prepared for. All right, so we're going to pick up and continue with our study in the book of Nehemiah. This Old Testament book is a fascinating story, really, of leadership. Now, maybe you're thinking, leadership, that doesn't apply to me. Oh, yes, it does. You see, every person has a leadership role in leading themselves, and you will never lead anybody else, any team, any company, any organization better than you lead yourself. So all of these principles that we talk about as we are going through the book of Nehemiah, they apply no matter what your role or your position is. They apply because you're a human being, and you, as well as I, need to practice wise practices and principles in leading ourselves. As we have seen, the Jews have been allowed to return to their capital city of Jerusalem, which lay in ruins. It's been devastated for a very long period of time. And Nehemiah, who had served in the cabinet of the Persian Empire's ruler, King Artaxerxes, had been allowed to return with the king's approval to rebuild Jerusalem's walls. This was the primary defense and protection of a city. And we've seen where there are enemies, there are people who do not want this to succeed. Make no mistake, everybody is not interested in your success. People can be very invested in other people remaining in helpless, vulnerable places and situations. And we've already seen that is happening here to Nehemiah and the Jews who are at work in this task. Well, what began as idle threats and what began as sarcasm and as verbal attacks has escalated down from the people who do not want to see this succeed to threats of physical harm and warfare. Nehemiah does what he's been doing all along. He confronts the reality of the situation. He doesn't try to magnify it, and he doesn't try to minimize it. He calls it for what it is. And specifically what we see in the second half of chapter 4 is that he recognizes that there could be an imminent attack, and the people have to be prepared for that. So what does he do? He divides the workers and he arms half of them with weapons. And he's very specific about all the weapons that he outfits them with. And then those who are carrying materials back and forth and hauling away rubble and then bringing materials that are needed to rebuild, they are also armed with weapons. Now, I don't know if you've ever pushed a wheelbarrow around, but if you have, it's hard enough to do if you've got a full heavy load in that. But imagine doing that while you've got this spear strapped to your side as well. Well, that's exactly what these people were doing. One of the things that's important for us to remember here is the Jews didn't have a standing army. The people building the wall were not professional wall builders, nor were they professional trained or experienced soldiers. The Jews had been subservient for a very long period of time. They hadn't been allowed to have a standing army where they trained men in terms of warfare. So these people are way out of their comfort zone, both as wall builders as well as potential soldiers. Not only does Nehemiah provide the people with real weapons, he also provides a strategy in the event of an attack. He has someone who stays with him, who has a trumpet, and this is a good trumpet player, and he's got a good trumpet because he's got to be loud enough in the event of an attack. He's going to blow this trumpet, and that is where everybody was supposed to rally to fight off their attackers. The other thing that Nehemiah does is he calls for an emergency declaration, and he orders that everyone is going to remain inside the city at night instead of dispersing to the outlying villages and farms and settlements where people lived. People weren't living in Jerusalem in this time period and in a large population. Most of the people were living outside of the city. And he says, y'all are going to need to come and stay inside of the city, even though these walls aren't built yet. And we're going to have people who are going to stand guard just as they are throughout the day. And they're also going to be standing guard throughout the night. The other thing that he gives an order for is everyone is to remain dressed for during the entire night. Okay, nobody's like, okay, go get your stuff and come back and then change into your pajamas. There are no PJs allowed. Everybody is going to remain dressed in the same clothes that they have been wearing throughout the day while they've been at work. They're going to also be wearing those at night. There is no time allowed. In the event of an attack, every minute, every second is going to count. Lives are at stake, literally. And Nehemiah addresses that by having this strategy that confronts the reality of the situation. So what are some of the things that we can see here in these verses? First, it's to recognize the safety measures that Nehemiah takes were not designed to be sustainable for the long haul. These are not permanent practices. They're temporary. What was going to be sustainable in the long haul were strong walls. And that's important for us to know the difference between temporary strategies and permanent ones. Between times when maybe just in our individual lives, we need to take a different course of action. We may need to take drastic action, but we need it to be something that is happening while we are at work developing sustainable practices. This can happen in a relationship where it can be a matter that there are some drastic practices that need to change for a period of time in order for a strong relationship to be built. It can happen in an organization. It can happen in a family. What's important is to recognize and discern from the get-go what are the policies, the practices, the strategies that are being implemented to address an emergency situation, but knowing that they're not supposed to be enshrined and become something permanent. Now, certainly there are times when emergencies occur and it awakens us to the fact that, hey, we need to make some sustainable permanent changes. because there's been an oversight here, or there's been a vulnerability exposed through a situation. But that is different from responding to a temporary situation. You know, it's important to be able to have an exit strategy, to know when you implement something new, okay, when is this going to end? I think this was one of the factors during COVID that created a lot of stress and anxiety. Is it too early to use the word unprecedented yet? I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever be as much of a fan of that word for the rest of my life simply because of what happened during the COVID pandemic. But it was unprecedented in some respects. And one of the facts of that is that people weren't prepared with the strategies that could be put in place temporarily. And there's a lot of anxiety about, okay, how are these going to be removed? Who decides that? What's the conditions for that? And hopefully there are some things that we have learned from that that we can use when there's another situation, whether it's a pandemic or whatever it is, and whether it's at a global, a national, or an individual or organizational level, that we go into that better prepared to have learned from history and to identify, okay, these are things that we're going to do right now. These are measures we're going to take right now. These are some policies we're going to put in place right now, but these are temporary. They're only here until we get what is sustainable for the long haul put in place. Another factor that we can see here is that we don't underestimate people's capacities in hard times and in stressful and difficult situations. It is incredibly disconcerting to me that we have in our culture right now this mindset in so many areas where we think that to become strong, we have to protect ourselves from hearing or enduring anything that is hard or difficult. And that is just the opposite of what builds strength. People do not become strong by being sheltered. People do not become strong by not being exposed to differences of opinion, ideas, or difficulties. You know, we're still seeing so much cancel culture. And one of the downsides of this, the cost of this, it's not measured in dollars and cents, but it is a very real cost, is basically it's continuing this mindset that says, I can't hear certain things, I can't endure hard things, I can't deal with hard stuff. So the solution is, let's just cancel that. Let's just keep people from speaking. Let's keep ourselves in situations where we don't have to engage with difficult things. That will never, ever serve us well as a nation, as a culture, as a people. Nehemiah calls his people to do something hard. He calls people to come to move way outside of their comfort zones. As soldiers, as wall builders, as people who aren't trained in this at all, but he calls them to this because sometimes that's what leadership does. It calls people to do hard things. Whatever you think of his politics, one of the things that John F. Kennedy was famous for saying, and it's worth saying still today, and that is, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. In other words, how can you show up, not just how can everybody else show up for you? And good leaders know how to calm and challenge and equip people to do hard things, knowing that's what's going to provide safety for them in the long run. You know, I opened with a teaser about Emily Dickinson. And there's just a very short poem that she wrote that's called We Never Know How High We Are. And it goes like this. We never know how high we are till we are asked to rise. And then, if we are true to plan, our stature's touch the skies. The heroism we recite would be a normal thing. Did not ourselves the cubits warp for fear to be a king? While I don't want to get into all of the literary analysis of that poem, there is a core truth to that that says, sometimes we don't know what's within us until we are put in a situation that we have to rise to the occasion. And that's exactly what Nehemiah does. He puts before the people this project, this task, and he asks them to rise to the occasion. And they do so. As a leader of yourself, first of all, don't be afraid to ask yourself to rise to do hard things. If you make that a practice in your life, then you absolutely will develop the capacity at someday, if you are step into a leadership role with other people, to know how to effectively equip and call them to rise to accomplish something that they don't know they have the capacity to do. That's one of the hallmarks of good leaders, is they know how to see capacity in others and to call that out, even if the person and the people don't see it in themselves. Now, it's important to make a distinction here. We're not just talking about doing hard things just for the sake of doing hard things. These people are doing something hard because they are building walls so that they can then live. Future generations can then live in safety inside of this city. They're rebuilding the city also to become economically more powerful and to be able to provide for the people there and for Jews that would come in the future. So they're not just doing something hard just to do something hard. And that's not what we want to do. But when we are called to do something hard in pursuit of a higher aim, let's take Emily Dickinson's advice and let's follow Nehemiah's leadership example and ask ourselves and others to rise to occasions that we don't think we have the capacity to pull off. Lastly, what we see here is you got to be willing to put up with some stink to get to a place of safety. That's right. When people are out doing construction from dawn to dusk, working on these walls, okay, their clothes were going to be sweaty and dirty and stinky. And then they're all coming together inside the city at night and they're going to sleep in those same clothes all night. And this went on for how many days at a time? It was going to be stinky. It was not going to be pleasant. Not for the individual, and not for the people around them. Sometimes when we are in pursuit of a formidable but worthy task, we're just going to have to be prepared to put up with some things that are unpleasant and stinky in order to get the task accomplished. All right, my friend, we are going to wrap up here. On our next episode, I'm going to talk about applying these principles specifically as we are leaders in our homes with our kids. So whether you're a mom or a dad, stay tuned for the next episode that will release in 2 days as we look at how do we apply these principles in our role as parents. Remember, go check out the website, stephaniepresents.com. Sign up for High Impact while you are there. And then look at the speaking engagements and put an event planner that you know, a school administrator that you know, a homeschool co-op, an organization leader that you know in touch with me, or put me in touch with them. You can always email me, speaking@stephaniepresents.com, and you can make referrals that way, as well as by filling out the contact form on the website. Most of all, remember this, my friend, you have an impact that is immeasurable, eternal, and irreplaceable.
Thank you for listening. Visit the website, stephaniepresents.com, and sign up for High Impact to join the mission of building spiritually strong, emotionally healthy, and relationally smart women and families. You can also book Stephanie to speak at your event and check out additional resources. Together, we can invite and equip generations to engage fully in God's grand story.